It is time for the Positive Chats podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Briggs, and joining me today, our good friend from Christian History Magazine, Michael Austin, back with us to talk about their new issue just out, Christ and Culture in Russia, Legacy and Conflict. Michael, welcome back. Always good to have you.
Thank you, Tommy. Great to be with you and great to look at the welcoming springtime.
Yes.
Lord willing.
Yeah, well, officially in spring, the 21st, I guess, was the first day of spring. So there you go. We're officially into it. We're getting the rain today, so that's that's certainly a part of spring. So
yeah, that's a good time.
A timely issue, and of course, talking about Christ and culture in Russia, and certainly the Russian church has been in the news recently. What with the war in Ukraine and some debate and even some, I would say, dissension within the church over the church's role and kind of endorsing that. And there's a lot of controversy over that, both within and within the church and without. But not anything new that for Russia and the history of Christianity in Russia, which is a rather tumultuous history. Let's just put it that way.
Oh my gosh, yes. And this lead article titled Persecution and Resilience is very timely. As you have said, this issue comes at a time when we are seeing aspects of the Russian Revolution back in 1917 with what our nation is going through today, and it's an incredible wake-up call, I think, on a number of aspects of the religious history, the history of the faith, and the history of our religion, if you want to call it that. Here we're looking at the Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the term religion is very appropriate because in reading this this issue, and I'm just getting into this. I mean, this requires considerable adjustment, I think, for evangelical Christians in America to absorb, dig into, if you will. This aspect of the church and the importance of the church in every nation, especially this nation of what was Imperial Russia, then became the Soviet Union, and now is the nation of Russia and Ukraine and several other, I think it was nine, brothers. Soviet Union broke up into nine different countries. Fascinating history, and I think a great testimony of how very powerful the church is and how believers are a major factor in history. And what I mean by that, we see this in the Bible, where the Romans and the Jewish establishment were very concerned about the people and how the people would react, most especially in the New Testament, how they were reacting to this remarkable emissary from heaven who came, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and began to change the culture and the nature and nation, and he went straight to the capital of the nation, straight to the government, if you will, of the Jewish nation, and the government of the Roman nation. And that's a stretch for a lot of us. To come to realize how involved he was with the political reality and how the Russian church is involved with political nature and nation that as it exists today.
And the article is Persecution and Resilience, the Russian Orthodox Church and the Bolshevik Revolution, and deals with how the church dealt with that, dealt with the communists coming to power. Obviously, the communists were no fans of yes. the Christian faith. By the way, this is written by Scott Kenworthy, who is a professor at Miami of Ohio, just down the road from us. So that's very cool.
All right.
But yeah. One of the things that it talks about in the article is how the church met that challenge, right? That when the Bolsheviks started coming to power, mm-hmm. the Russians and the communists started coming to power, because initially, I don't think people realize, initially there was a transitional, they tried to set up a transitional democratic government, but that didn't work for lots of reasons. And so it was finally the Bolsheviks who were able to seize power, which presented a real challenge to the church. And they were fortunate early on that they had a patriarch named Tikhon who tried to navigate those waters and keep the faith. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about him, because he is kind of one of those, I guess you would call him a hero of the faith that you most people may not have heard about, was fighting hard to preserve the integrity of the church during this time.
I think he deserves that moniker of being a hero of the faith, because this was a man under tremendous pressure at a time when the revolution and a very, very small percentage of the population, I mean, we're talking about, numbers in the hundreds, that would be the Bolsheviks and the bureaucrats that seized power and began to make these changes. And not surprisingly, it caused the church to make changes. They were, I think, caught a bit unaware of what was brewing, and they had to make major adjustments to survive. And Tikhon is credited with what turned out to be a compromising position that he took. However, his message to his people, to the faithful, was to stay true to their faith and not to compromise their faith at all. But his relationship with the state was so vicious, so hateful, and had such a hatred of God and the establishment, the established religion, that it required a very very astute negotiation and what people today refer to as a compromise, which turned out to give the church the ability to survive, because it was a question of survival. This was life and death for the church, because the enemy wanted to completely eradicate the church, and did so more effectively later on when Stalin came to power. But initially, it was a band of bureaucrats and militia, and it reminds me of how Antifa behaves in our nation today. A lot of the pressure on the church was caused by what's called random chaos or random attacks against the church. These guys with revolvers would basically show up at a church and start shooting people and ransacking, a major church in major cities.
This is a statewide test of the Ohio Emergency Alert System in conjunction with Severe Weather Awareness Week in Ohio and originating from the State Emergency Operations Center in Columbus. This is only a test. The Ohio Emergency Alert System is designed to provide the public with timely warnings and emergency information. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have received instructions and information related to that emergency over this and other stations in your area. This concludes this test of the Ohio Emergency Alert System.
All right, we are back after that emergency alert test. So we're talking with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. And so, Michael, we were talking before you got cut off there by the test about Bishop Tihon and the compromises. Well, I say compromises, the way he had to negotiate the relationship of the church with the communists, and really a tough path. I think one he walked wisely. He never came out and didn't necessarily, he never condemned the Bolsheviks. He never called for their overthrow. But at the same time, he wasn't afraid to criticize them for what he thought were human rights abuses or abuses of the church. And so it really was a delicate path that he was walking.
Yes. And it's interesting also to note that he was designated to lead the church through the biblical process of casting lots, because there were three major bishops being considered for this role, how to lead the Russian Orthodox Church in this very critical time. And so they got together and conducted a vote. None of the three were an outstanding winner of that contest. And so they cast lots, and Tikhon actually got fewer votes than the other two, but he was he won by lot. And, you know, I think I can see, you know, our father's sovereignty working here. And I think as did the nation, because Tikhon was a people person. This is quite remarkable. He had a personality that was so right for his time, and allowed him to make this a people project, how to nurture the people, how to lead the people in this time of crisis. And instead of being a bureaucrat, and of course there's bureaucrats in the church as well as in the state, that the church has been dealing with forever, and he was the right man at the right time.
And I thought
what I was just
going to say, Michael. I thought it was interesting too when he won, his attitude about it. It says in the article, it says on learning that his name was chosen, Tikhon anticipated that becoming patriarch would not be for honor and glory, but rather he perceived the news like Ezekiel's scroll on which it was written, lamentation and mourning and woe. He understood that this wasn't like, oh, you get to be in charge, you're the big boss, it's going to be great. He realized that he was setting himself up for a lot of persecution and trial, and he was imprisoned and did face a lot of trial.
Thank you for noting that. He was he had a great capacity of humility. And again, that is the, you know, how many times have we talked about these heroes of the faith? When that trait, that gift, plays such a huge role, such a big part in the way that the Christians, individual Christian leaders, and the church interacts with the world, with the secular world, certainly governments, and so forth. But what I was about to comment there before the test is that because of the nature of technology and culture, there was a huge divide in Russia, which was a vast, I mean, geographically vast area,
mm-hmm.
Stretching all the way from the eastern coast of the continent above China all the way into Europe, and so the countryside was, and by the way, we should, this is a remarkable notation in the article, that the participation in the Russian Orthodox Church, percentage-wise, vastly outnumbered what was going on in Europe at this time. And the time that we're talking about is, you know, the First World War. 1917 is... we're coming to the end of this First World War conflict, and so we're talking about, you know, the fairly modern times. Certainly modern times for Russia. So you had a vast nation of rural farm, basically a huge, huge agriculture population. And that population and those Christians were attending this Orthodox church in huge numbers. I mean, the percentage of the people that were engaged in that religion was unheard of at that time in Europe and even in the United States. So you had this huge divide. There's another article on page 28 of this issue, Christian Lies and Christian Hope, Keeping Faith Under Communism. And that it goes into, digs deep into how the people across the nation dealt with this godless regime that basically were murdering millions, and Stalin eventually is credited with the death and torture of 60 million, in excess of 60 million, and of course established labor camps across the and indoctrination of re-education camps across the nation. And the Russian people were facing not only that from their own government, but the possibility of losing a war to Nazi Germany, which would be, you know, it's noted that they had a choice in thinking about their future, whether it was going to be, Adolf Hitler or Lenin and Trotsky. The population was incredibly traumatized, and this issue, I think, is so timely because we are seeing many of the forces, as we know, we're not dealing with individuals in the challenge of our Christian life and faith. We're dealing with principalities and powers. And we are seeing these same principalities and powers working in our culture today. We're seeing such things as attack on the family. That's an issue that comes up in several of the articles in this publication. There was examples of the state causing confusion about the family, confusion about religion, and even confusion of our sexual identity. It's remarkable to realize that these principalities and powers were at work back in 1917, just as they are today in our nation.
We're talking with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. Their latest edition is Christ and Culture in Russia, Legacy and Conflict, and so many things they're talking about in this issue that we're just kind of scratching the surface today, but I know we'll have Michael back and talk more about this. But one of the things you talked about, you mentioned that article in 28 about Christian lives and Christian hope, living faithfully under communism. I thought it was a really interesting article about Love is an Act of Rebellion, about the literary culture and so many great literary works. You think of some of the great Christian books like the Brothers Karamazov and from Dostoevsky, and even, you know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the Gulag Archipelago and his faith, and just so many great works of Christian literary works that came out of Russia and came out of the Russian writers. Tolstoy, of course, who later in his life became a Christian and wrote a number of things on Christianity. So it really is a rich tradition of Christianity, not just within Russia, but that has affected the church worldwide, the global church. And we'll be talking about more of those coming up. But Michael, for those who are interested in Christian History Magazine and how to get a hold of it and check out your archives and explore this really fascinating magazine, how can they do so?
Well, simply by going on the internet to ChristianHistoryMagazine.org. And as always, this entire issue is displayed in a reader, so you can turn the pages, read the articles, and look at the artwork in this particular issue is very, very interesting. Lots of photography, paintings, illustrations, and of course there's a lot of information about the icon, the history of the and use of the icon within the Orthodox churches of Ukraine, the Greek Orthodox, and the Russian Orthodox. So, yeah, it's a very rich and important issue for people to get a hold of at ChristianHistoryMagazine.org.
And by the way, there is also, if folks are interested, there is an article on Russia and the Ukraine detailing their history from 88 to 2018. If you want to kind of understand, what's happening in Ukraine, it's a great article to give you some history behind those two regions and why what's happening there is happening right now. So that's
let's get into that next month. I'm just getting into it now. There's so much in this issue. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And very, very important for us to be familiar with these topics as we move forward very rapidly in changes in our nation and the entire world that are brought to life in this issue.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us. It's always great talking with you, and we always appreciate your time.
Thank you, Tommy, and thank you for your interest in Christian history. God bless you and your wonderful audience.
You too. Thank you, Michael. God bless, brother.
God bless.
Once again, Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine joining us on the Positive Chats podcast.